This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 20th, 2023, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Ask a sign of the Lord thy God, either into the depth of hell or to the height of heaven. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is a very familiar Old Testament passage. It is very familiar. And I read it for years and years and years, always around Christmas time, we hear this one here. And I wasn't really reading it properly. I was not reading it properly. To read it in English, it really kind of falls short because it can make things sound like what they are not. For instance, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, either into the depth of hell or into the height of heaven. It's like Isaiah is presenting to King Ahaz, if you want to, you can ask God for it. He's giving him a command. He's telling him to do something. Ask thee a sign of the Lord. Require it from the heavens or from the earth. This is the way he presents it, is recalling some of the events of the Old Testament. King Ahaz is an idolater. Okay, he's a king of Judah. He is idolatrous. He is an evil man, and he's being confronted with it. And Isaiah throws that out at him. Ask thee a sign of the Lord. The Lord gives signs, generally speaking, when he's not particularly happy about things. And when he says, either unto the depth of hell or into the height of heaven. The height of heaven, thunders. This is recalling things like in 1 Kings chapter 12, when Samuel, the priest and prophet, is taken aback. He's beside himself because the people of Israel are asking for a human king. And he is trying to get to convince them, God is your king. God is your king. Don't ask for a human king. He's going to mess you up. He's going to ask for taxes. He's going to draft your sons. He's going to impress your women to work in his factories and make work. It's just going to be bad. God's your king. We want a king like all the nations around us. God shows up to Samuel and says, is this, because Samuel was taking offense. See, he's a prophet. And God said, Samuel, why are you taking offense? There's no offense to you. It's an offense to me. I have been their loving king since I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and all they've done is rebel. Let them have what they want. And Samuel relents, and you'll have a king. And he says, and I shall call upon the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain to show his displeasure. And he did. It wasn't just like a thunderstorm that we see around here. It was a huge deal. But that's not only where he leaves it. He said, ask from the depths of hell. This recalls for the people Numbers chapter 16, where the sons of Korah are being schismatic against Moses and confronting him. We have the Holy Spirit too. We're as much God's with us as much as he's with you. Moses says, okay, let's gather together and we'll see if you guys are the same as me, who God has put in charge of all this hot mess that is the people of Israel. And they get together and he goes through this big dissertation about, oh, you're going to see what God approves of and whose side he's on. And he says, I quote, if the Lord do a new thing and the earth open up and swallows them, we'll know. And guess what happened? the earth opened up and swallowed them and all of their families and all of their possessions. This is what Isaiah is confronting the evil King Ahaz with. And he doesn't suggest, he says, ask the Lord of a sign. I always looked at it as he was like giving Ahaz an option to do something, to prove God. But no, it's a command and Ahaz a response. I always read it as if he was like humbling himself in some way. His response, I will not ask and I will not tempt the Lord. Well, that sounds good because, you know, when Jesus is tempted in the desert, he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God, because he's reciting what we read in Leviticus. This is not what's going on here. Ahaz is an evil man, and he says, I will not ask. He is not exhibiting humility, but rank pride in his evil. Ahaz knew that he was wrong. He knew that he was an idolater, and he did not want to relinquish what he was doing. And though he's an idolater, he did not want to tempt the Lord, because he knew if he did, he knew he'd see a sign. Because idolaters do that. They like idols. They like all kind of gods that they are of their own choosing and things like that. But they also know that, like the Philistines, for instance, they had the god of this and the god of that. They had all kind of different gods. But as when they brought the Ark of the Covenant that out, they were like, oh, now we're in trouble. Because you know what he did to the Egyptians. Everybody knows what God is capable of. I mean, the true and the living God. Okay, we're comfortable burning incense to God of the forests and the wind and the sun and statues of frogs and snakes and things like that. We're good with that because we have control over what we do and everything. But we do know that there is truly a God. We know what he will do when he's pushed. And this is where Ahaz is like, nah. There's two things going on here. One, he was commanded to do something. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fulfill your command, Isaiah. I don't care if you're a prophet or not. And I do know there's a God, and I'm not going to put myself in a position where I might get swallowed up by the earth, like the sons of Korah were. And in Hebrew, it's not, in some of the English version, I like the later ones, like the RSV right here, it actually literally translates the Hebrew, because it's not, I will not tempt the Lord, because that sounds good. You're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. It's not, I will not tempt him, I will not put him to the test. I'm not going to test whether or not he's going to smite me or anything. I'm not going to do it, Isaiah. So, you know, St. Jerome pretty puts it in a nutshell. St. Jerome says, Ahaz did not want to ask for a sign because he was commanded to do so by Isaiah. Because asking for a sign is not necessarily bad. To ask for a sign is not tempting the Lord your God. In the book of Judges, we had two people, Gideon, for instance, he asked and receives a sign. Manoah, another good judge, he asked and received a sign. So to ask and receive a sign from God is not tempting him. If you don't do it incredulously, like our Blessed Mother, when she asked how this is going to be. You know, she didn't ask incredulously like Zechariah did when he basically scoffed at what the angel said, that John the Baptist was going to be born of his assumed barren mother. So this whole thing with Ahaz is not being humble. He's maintaining his intransigent stance against God. When you look at it this way, when Isaiah kicks in and says, oh, you're going to receive a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. We know the rest of that story. That's another part of the story, and particularly depending on what Bible you're reading, because you will get some comments under when Isaiah says, behold, a virgin will conceive, and in some of your, it's a, behold, a young maiden will conceive. In Hebrew, the word ha'amah, it is literally translated a young woman who is separated from the company of men. It's not the Hebrew word for a virgin, as we would use that word. It's a young woman separated from the company of men. It is never applied in any Hebrew writing to anyone other than a young virgin, ever. So just because the word can be translated young maiden, that's what it means, a young man. This is why when the Hebrew Bible was translated into the Greek in the Septuagint, the Greek was used with the word parthena, which is virgin, just like we use that word, means that exact same thing. So one commentator says, an immense literature has grown up around this oracle and debate continues. Yeah, if you're not a believer, that there is all kind, and there has been all kind of literature, particularly in modern times, about what Isaiah says here. But if you really think about it, you see, well, the Hebrew's young woman, we're talking about a sign from God, right? Behold, a young woman will conceive. What kind of sign is that? It's not a sign, because who has babies? Young women. Okay, so when Isaiah says, behold, a young woman, if I was Ahaz, yeah, see, I told you, you're not much of a prophet, because, yeah, that's who has babies. He's talking about something very different here. So what kind of sign is that? So these are the things that you have to understand about this very familiar passage, because when Isaiah throws out, behold, you will receive a sign from Almighty God. And it came to fulfillment in part back when it was given, because several years later, there were kings born of young maidens, and they overcame all of these idolatrous practices that Ahaz was dealing with and all the enemies that he was dealing with. But for us, we understand the much more profound meaning. The debate continues. There is no debate if you believe the gospel. You know, what was our gospel reading today? It emphasizes the whole virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mother, which is the absolute and explicit fruition of what Isaiah says here. Talking about Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph, they're not in their marriage yet. It has not been consummated. The angel appears to Mary. She's troubled by the saying, in not an incredulous manner, how can this be? Because I have no husband. She's emphasizing this whole virginity thing, and the angel, Holy Spirit will overshadow you, the power of Almighty God will be upon you, and that which will be born from you, it will be called holy, the Son of God. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. This is why there shouldn't be volumes of literature written on this if you believe the gospel. So when you're reading commentaries that question, well, Isaiah really didn't say it. Again, it's really nonsense to think that the man just said, yo, because it's, that's ridiculous. That's, well, yeah, young women have babies. There's something very special happened. And the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this whole thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and he shined light on all the darkness that was idolatry. He shed light on all the bondage, because that was another thing King Ahaz was really afraid of, was the Babylonians and the nation, because Judah and Israel were always fighting between one another. There's a constant civil war thing going on between the two. And he was pointing out, when our Lord comes, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the light of the world. He is going to do away with all this stuff for his people, for those upon whom his favor rests. This is Christmas for us. This is the fulfillment of everything that the Old Testament prophets had. Even in the face of evil kings, does evil still exist in this world? Oh, heck yeah, it sure does. In the world, some places in the church, evil's there. But at the end of the day, what do? We appeal to this. We appeal, you know, because our Lord has, you know, he has presented it to us. Ask a sign. We don't have to ask a sign anymore, because we know. We know Jesus Christ, so we don't have to do that. This is the beauty of Christmas. This idea that our Lord has come and to undo all these things, not undo them to where they don't exist in this world, but to undo them to the point where we don't have to worry about them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.